Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the Broad Slay Show podcast. I am Michelle. Hello, and I am here with Grace. Hi, Grace.
Hi, everybody. Hello, Michelle. I'm sweating like a monster in here, you guys. And poor Michelle is hearing me. Obscenities flying.
Is it that hot today over there?
No, but because I'm banging things around and equipment and getting frustrated. Well, it's like 86 in New York today, but my apartment isn't. It's just my frustration, and I'm like throwing and banging and doing things. And the next door, they're working on something, so hopefully they're at lunch because it's like pop, pop, pop. And then they did like the saw or whatever it is. So I'm like, so why don't we start? Why don't you tell everybody what we're doing? How are you, Michelle? Other than me just telling you that I'm sweating like a monster. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I can't complain.
I am very glad
very
to hear.
Very good.
All right. So why don't you tell everybody what we're talking about today?
Well, I came across this documentary on HBO several weeks ago called Who Killed Garrett Phillips? And it's a two-parter, and it documents the murder of a 12-year-old boy in a small town, and basically, I think the only or one of the only African-American people in the town ended up getting accused and charged with the crime. However, there were a lot of other things going on. Some, you know, looks like maybe police corruption. There's like a whole lot to this story, and we should probably just start with the beginning.
That would be good. I also want to tell you guys, I would link you, but it's on YouTube. Just look up Who Killed Garrett Morris, and the two parts that we are talking about are on YouTube, so you can see for yourself the whole thing on YouTube.
Yep, definitely, if you don't have HBO, for sure. So, in the beginning of part one of the documentary, they're interviewing some college kids who live in, it's like one of these townhouses, isn't it? Where there's
like an old-fashioned house. You know, it's like an old house, because this is an old town. This is Potsdam, New York, which is very
close. Potsdam, New York, yes.
Yeah, and it's very close to the Canadian border. I mean, it's way up yonder in the pawpaw patch. So, yes. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't like a new building. It was like an old building made into apartments, a bunch of apartments.
Yeah. So these college kids were living there, and they were, I believe it was, I don't know, between 4 and 5 p.m. On this specific day. They were making dinner and, I believe, watching Dexter.
Yes.
The TV show Dexter.
I love that show.
And they lived next to a single mother who had, was it two boys?
Two boys, yeah. Garrett was the oldest.
One of them being...
Yeah.
Yeah. He was 12, and he would ride all over on a skateboard. And they heard a little bit of commotion in the apartment next door.
Did they live right next door to
them? And they heard, like, some muffled noises. Yeah. As far as I know.
That's what I thought.
They heard some muffled noises, and they heard something that sounded like a crash, and then silence, and then a muffled noise, like somebody they think maybe saying help.
Help or no.
And then there was total silence.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they were concerned, and they called 911, and the police showed up, and they found Garrett Phillips murdered.
Yeah, they had to wait. Well, one of the funny things was when the girl went next door, she heard like the bolt or something click, like they locked it.
Yeah, yeah.
So the cop came, and he had to wait for the super to come and bring the key, which didn't take too long.
Right. And then they found Garrett. And he had passed away. Did they ever disclose the manner of death?
Well, he was not dead yet. He was still breathing, but they got him to breathe. But they did later disclose a manner of death. But at that time, they had no clue, and they brought him to the hospital.
And what was it? Strangulation?
Strangulation, smothering, yeah.
Okay. All right. So, and then the film goes on to discuss Garrett's mother, Tandy.
The hot mama of the hot mama of town of Potsdam.
Yes, the very attractive, charismatic single mom, and turns out she had a relationship with an African American soccer coach.
Mm-hmm. Can you hear that so loud
in the town? Yeah.
Oh, boy. I really see. This is what I did. This is why I got hot, too, because they're supposed to break for lunch, and I'm screaming at them through my apartment to stop and shut up. And I'm knocking on the doors as well. And I was going to lie and say, someone's calling me from Europe, and I'm doing a podcast, and I can't change it. Could you please take your lunch now and go back? But they won't open the doors. They stopped. They stopped.
Yeah.
Okay. So where were we at? She was dating this guy, Nick Hillary. Hillary. And they had broken up.
Was she? Right.
And basically the reason that she said they broke up was that he did not get along with her children, because they were like a community. They lived with his three kids, her two kids, like a Brady Bunch situation that just didn't work out. So she moved out and said she had to put her kids first. But prior to Nick,
yes.
Why don't you tell us about your favorite guy in the whole wide world?
Well, she had a relationship with this guy named John Jones, who was also, was he the sheriff?
No, he was a deputy sheriff.
Okay, he was the deputy sheriff, and she had previously had a relationship with him. And then she started talking to Nick Hillary. I don't think they were finished with their relationship when she started talking to Nick Hillary.
They met at the bar. And she was bartending.
It was a bit of a scandal.
For him.
Yeah, she was bartending there. They were becoming friendly. John Jones realized that she was becoming friendly with this guy. He wasn't happy about it. And then she ends up getting together with Nick Hillary and eventually moving in with him. And they were together for about a year, and they went traveling together. And according to the documentary, John Jones was not happy with her not only leaving him, but leaving him for a black man.
That was so crushing.
In this small, majority white town.
You can only imagine how he felt that he, you know, he just was like, how dare she? And, you know, this is it. He was teased and all that other stuff. But first off, was she living with Jones when she was seeing him?
No, according to the documentary, they were just starting to get friendly.
No, I mean, the bad boy, John Jones. Was she married to, was she living with him?
That was not clear. They did not make that clear. I think they were just in a relationship and dating. I don't think that they were living together at the time, but I'm not 100% sure.
Prior to all this stuff and Nick and Tandy moving in together, John goes to Nick's house where he's living with his children, and he said, okay, talk to me man to man and tell me if you're seeing, you know, Tandy. And he said, we're friends, whatever. His wife was home, so, and his kids. And he's like, you know, he called Nick a coward, whatever, and he left. And Nick did a report on him showing up and threatening him. Then, you know, this weasel calls Nick's wife and says, how are you taking this about Nick? You know, what a tattletale weasel. You know what I mean? He was just such a creep. And she, of course, threw out all Nick's stuff and said, beat it, buddy. And at that point, they moved in together. And Hillary had written something bad about, and Tandy wrote something bad about John Jones. And he said, it wasn't her, it was all Nick doing it.
Yeah, she supposedly had a restraining order against John Jones and said that she felt threatened and she felt that her children were threatened by him. This was all previous to her getting together with Nick Hillary. So once Garrett was killed, a lot of the town thought that it was Nick Hillary because they thought he was a jilted lover and he did not get along well. Her son Garrett did not like him, apparently. So the theory was that the 12-year-old boy was coming between him and the woman he wanted, and so he was just going to snuff out the boy. That's the theory.
Right.
But there's also a theory that there were some kids that had gotten into the place, and they were playing some weird game, and something went wrong.
Oh, it's called...
And he was asphyxiated.
I think it's called... wipe a blockout or something, choke. It was some kind of thing that was very popular for bored kids, where you know, choke somebody and they kind of get a euphoric feeling, which is sort of autoerotic asphyxiation, but not quite. And at first, I think they thought that it was involved with kids, other kids.
Yeah, and there were some rumors that Garrett was hanging out with other children before he died, horse playing with them, playing the game of knockout, as you said.
Yeah.
That he didn't get along with some of the kids, and there were a lot of rumors in the town that these kids had done it. But then John Jones and all of the police departments start getting involved, and they start finding out who the child is and who the mother is and who she was dating, and all of a sudden, all the attention goes to Nick Hillary.
And, of course, so, a spurned love guy is also John Jones, but they don't even think about that.
No, because he's on the police force.
Yes.
I immediately suspected John Jones. As soon as I saw interviews with him and how arrogant he was and how jealous he was of this guy, I wasn't sure that he had killed the child himself, but I was sure that he had something to do with some sort of framing or corruption because he didn't like Nick Hillary. I think that the first theory that other people in the town were rumbling about was that it was a bunch of kids that he knew.
Yeah.
However, a huge part of this has to do with some video surveillance. The last seen video surveillance of Garrett Phillips was riding his skateboard. I forget which store it was that he was going by, out of the parking lot.
Well, first,
and I believe turning left.
He was at, he was playing basketball with his friends, and then his mother called and said, I want you to go home and do your homework. And it was like 4:45 or something before that, and you can see him skating out of the school grounds. It was a middle school, and creepily, I have to say, this creeped me out. Soon after, Nick Hillary's car left the parking lot and turned left as well.
Yes. But he also goes right by John Jones's street as John Jones is pulling into his driveway that day of the murder.
That is so creepy.
I mean, it's
isn't
a small town.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very small. But they didn't see on, they were looking for Nick's car to go by, but Nick's car never did go by.
Right, and the defense attorney noted that Jones was spotted on video walking his dog during the time of the murder, the time that it's believed to have taken place, and the defense attorney was basically like, who brings their dog to a murder? Nobody.
Yeah, and so, also we have to remember that there were two people fixing a tire that lived in the building.
Yes.
And they heard, I don't know what noise they heard. They were interviewing the woman, and they didn't see anything, but they heard funny stuff. And I think they went in the house about, so it would have to be the murder happened pretty quickly after the kid got home. But I don't remember what time they went in, but they had seen nobody and no one jumping from the window, nothing. And they went inside the house.
Yes.
And that's their whole thing, that there was a window kind of opened, and their theory was the murderer jumped down and, I don't know, ran, did whatever they could, and for Nick to do it, he would have had to do it in this incredible small amount of time, really fast,
mm-hmm.
that he would have been an Olympic runner had he gotten as fast to the place he was going afterwards. So it was really weird. And also, what was that, the Nick?
Nick's friend from soccer.
Yeah,
there's
I liked him a lot.
There's also that.
Mm-hmm.
He said that Nick was at his house at the time the murder was supposed to happen. Nick said that he did leave that parking lot. I think he said something like he was going to go home, but then he went to his friend's house, who he usually stops in sometimes, you know, to say hi or whatever. And his friend said he was there with me. He popped in. I was on the phone with some customer service people. And that's documented that he was on the phone with those people at that time. And that's when Nick walked into my house and we visited for a little bit. And then he left. And there's just not enough time. And his demeanor was totally normal. You're trying to tell me that he just killed a child and showed up at my house and acted totally normal?
And also they say the kid had to have been murdered with the time of him coming home. He was choked. How long? I don't know. Nick's a big guy. The other guy was a big. How long
True.
Did it take to choke somebody? I would think more than a minute and a half and 2 minutes to kill them. But I don't know. I've never tried to kill anyone before or choke anyone. I don't know.
It's between approximately 4:55 p.m. and 5:08 p.m. He was fatally strangled. So that's the time frame.
And Nick was at his friend's house at what time? 5:01?
5:02? So Nick's alibi was that he was at home with his eldest daughter. Mm-hmm. Beginning at 5:21 p.m., his DNA didn't match what was on Garrett. His friend said that he was there at his house around that time.
There were fingerprints.
I'm trying to look for the
on
actual.
The window. There were fingerprints on the window, but they did not match Nick nor John Jones. And when they had, they had a dog, they had, you know, a police dog, sniff dog. And so I have to go next door and kill somebody. This is horrible. Why don't they stop? I don't understand this. Anyway, I'm going to try to ignore. So they said that they're...
Sorry, listeners. We're going to keep going anyway.
Yes, you know, hopefully the guy who edits will be able to perform magic for us because he's pretty good at that. Yes, so there were no fingerprints.
Well, basically...
And the sniff dog.
Yeah.
Remember, he went to the he went straight to the railroad tracks, and then it stopped. He stopped.
Oh, I must have missed that part. I don't remember that part in the documentary.
That might have been in the 2021.
Okay. So basically, Garrett leaves on his skateboard out of the parking lot, turns left. Then they see Nick on the video camera turning left in the direction that Garrett went. Mm-hmm. Rather than turning right to go home, which is where he said he was with his eldest daughter, so they presume he was hunting the boy before the murder, and he can't properly explain this discrepancy. And that's suspicious.
Very. Very.
However, if you watch the documentary and you see how well-spoken he is, you see his demeanor, very calm and very, you know... It's difficult to imagine.
Well, you know what?
I don't think he did it.
I think he may have done it. I don't know. Because that whole thing creeped me out. And later he said he was there having dinner with his daughter. They took the daughter's phone. And at 6:45,
right.
She's saying, hey, pops, what's for dinner? 6:45. So there was stuff there. And I can't say that Nick did it. I can't say he didn't do it. But, I mean, they found nothing. They found no DNA there. They found, you know, nothing of him there or of the other, just the creepy guy. What I hated was when he was talking about being with Tandy. And he said, I loved it. She was so attractive. All the men would look. And I can't say I didn't mind that. I was like, barf. And then he calls his girlfriend right after this happens and says, I'm going to be with Tandy and her sister because they need me. And he never left Tandy alone. And he was in the interrogation room with Tandy. He was with her all night and all in the next morning, and he shouldn't have been in there.
And because he called the dispatchers.
Right, to find out who was working on the case.
Yep. And where they were and what was happening. And yeah, it's very suspicious. And not only that, the most shocking part of the documentary is when they detain Nick and bring him in and make him strip down, right? Because they say they want to look at scratches or whatever, if he's got any marks on his body, which is normal. But what isn't normal, I mean, they completely strip him down.
Yes.
And they claimed later that they also photographed John Jones, but they only photographed like his hands and his arms. Like they literally stripped him down and humiliated him and kept him there for like 8 hours.
Picture, yeah. They blocked him from leaving, and they said, and then some people were saying, well, he didn't try to help with the case or to figure out what happened to the kid. It's like, well, he's being charged as a suspect. The people, the parents and family are all saying he did it. What normal person who's being accused by the family is going to go by and say, can I help you? You know, come on, he's going to get killed, especially by that uncle. My goodness.
Police bias, it makes it a problem.
I found it disgusting. I felt that was such a sick, got me sick to my stomach, what they did. And they asked that horrible guy who was one of the interrogators, he became the chief of police. Let's tell you how great Potsdam's coppers are. No offense, I'm sure in Potsdam there are some good coppers, okay? I don't want to say you are all bad, because they're not all bad. You know, anyway.
Well, the whole thing is Potsdam is a predominantly white community. And the thing of it was, Nick's friend and lawyer felt that he was being treated completely different because he was African American. I mean, they hadn't stripped down anyone else.
Did you? Yeah, that's what I was getting at.
He was the first one.
Yes, but this is what I'm getting at with this stupid idiot who was interrogating and was in the room with Nick and who became now the chief of police there. And he's just a young punk. And they said, did you strip? And he said, oh, yeah. And the guy said, well, who? And he said, Garrett Phillips. Well, he was dead. You do strip down.
Oh, I know.
I wanted
that was horrible. That,
I was like, oh, you moron. I can't even believe you said that. You're so just, what an idiot to compare. Anyway, it was weird. And obviously, I believe he had a lot of trouble. Nick was strict. Nick came from Jamaica. Nick became an American citizen. He was on this college team that was like superstars. They beat everybody.
Mm-hmm. Soccer.
Yes, soccer. And then he got, he went into the Marines or something, the Army for 3 years, which is truly discipline and all that stuff. And then he became the coach to another college that was by the one that he went to college at. And he became the head soccer coach. And everybody loved him because he was a great winning soccer coach. But, you know.
Mm-hmm.
After that, but you know, the kid was getting made fun of because his mother was with a black guy, and the kid went to counseling. Maybe 7 or 8 times. He brought Nick up twice, and all the guy wrote, the psychiatrist, racial issues. So he was getting made fun of, and it was not fun for him because you know how kind middle school children are. They're just so sweet and angelic. Yeah, so it was hard for him. And Nick was also very strict, but he'd never put a finger to them, never threatened them, never did anything like that. He was just really strict.
However, Tandy said that John Jones pushed her and she was afraid for her safety.
Yeah, he was such a creep. He really, you know, you just put him in there. I don't believe he did it, but he was just like Mr. Hero. Oh, she knows she can always depend on me. I'm sure he's pushing the Nick theory. Nick Hillary did it. He wanted you back. Well, didn't he want her back too? I don't know. He was a real creep. I just didn't like him, but I don't think he killed the kid. And also there in the time space, Michelle, part of me thinks somebody was already there when he came home.
Yes. Yeah. They said he was alone, but who knows?
Well, yeah.
obviously John Jones had clear motives.
Yes.
To get Tandy back. I don't, and to frame Nick. I mean,
well,
it
yeah.
seems like a stretch, but
I don't think that he did it.
His resentment at being replaced by a black man, I mean, that racism, that runs deep.
Ooh, and they were asking about black people that live in the town. Most are from the colleges. That's where the diversity comes from, and only from the colleges. But he was, mm-hmm. and then he said, I'm not friends. I don't have any black friends, kind of like smiling and snickering, kind of. And you're kidding, pal. You know, I'm shocked. I'm shocked. And also, he had control of Tandy, who was in the most horrified state in her life. Her son had just died, and she finds out he's been murdered. And this guy's in her ear all night and all morning, saying that she was basically saying she couldn't have written it because Tandy doesn't even know what those words mean. You know, things like that, like she's some idiot. But she did say,
yeah.
and on the stand, she did say she did write it, and he did push her. And, you know, Nick helped her with it. But this guy also sued Tandy in small claims court. I don't even know what that was about, but he did.
I know.
He was a real yeah. And at one point, this cracked me up. You probably missed it. His false teeth were coming out. So he's like doing this. I'm putting his teeth in.
Oh.
Yeah. No offense.
Well, personally. Yeah, personally, I don't believe they could link either of the men through DNA.
Nope.
Either Nick or John Jones. I believe that something happened with some kids, but I also believe John Jones took the opportunity to frame Nick Hillary because he wanted to get Tandy back. I'm curious, the documentary didn't cover. I know he spent the night with Tandy after the murder and stuck by her side, John Jones.
Like glue, like super
the
glue.
Entire time. Yeah. I'm wondering, did they get back together?
No.
They didn't really mm-hmm. say that.
No, they did not. He didn't get his wish, and he ended up marrying some chick. I think he was in his 40s, and he married some 25-year-old woman he could dominate. You know, I don't know. And
okay.
Yeah, but they didn't get back together. No. Uh-uh. But he was there. He just insinuated himself right back into her life, and to the point where she wanted me to be with her while she's telling you that it was Nick who killed the kid. And he was sitting there in heaven, you know, hearing all this. So
mm-hmm.
a lot of people find him suspicious. I've been on message boards, and they still think he may have done it. And there are still people who think Hillary may have done it, but there certainly wasn't enough evidence to charge him with second-degree murder, to put him away.
And if some boys had killed him, maybe boys that were bullying him or he didn't get along with, as a lot of people in the town said, their DNA wouldn't show up if none of them had records.
True. So that's why I...
Or their fingerprints, I should say.
And then they just had this new thing where these two teenage kids who live next door, they didn't live in the building, but they live next door to the building. One had a story that they saw a guy with medium length, dirty blonde hair come out of the building. Oh, and we forgot about Nick's boo-boo on his ankle. That one too.
Yeah. I don't know. It didn't look bad to me.
Me
what do you
either.
Think?
You know what it looked like to me? He's a soccer player. He's wearing those things, and it looks like, you know, when you hit soccer balls are hard, and you're wearing the sneaker, it looked like something like that, because I get bruises all the time. I look at him, I go, oh, my God, where did I get that? And I have a scratch on my ankle. I have no idea how I got that. And his ankle did not look swollen, I hate to tell you. And then the guy said, I saw him walking with a limp, and somebody had tape. And he said, why doesn't it show him walking with the limp? Yeah, he's walking perfect. He's walking faster than his teammates. So they figured...
Yeah, but the problem is when they asked him about the injury, he said, oh, I got it moving furniture. And then the detective asked him, you know, what were you moving? What were you doing? And Nick couldn't give him an explanation. So then they made that look really suspicious.
But haven't you found yourself with bruises and cuts that you don't remember getting?
Excuse me.
God bless you.
Oh, yeah, all the time, like every day.
Yeah. I mean, if somebody asks me, I have bruises all over. I look like a overripe Chiquita banana. You know, I have so many bruises all over me and I do not know where they came from. I'd be in the slammer too, because I just, you know, I don't remember. I don't know. I'm sure I go, ouch, and then I move on and I look at it the next day and say, oh, there's another one. Who knows? Yeah. So it didn't look bad. It also didn't look fresh. You know what I mean? Because didn't they have him in there like 2 days after the murder? 2 or 3 days?
Yes.
It looked like an old scab. It looked like an old scab. Here it goes again.
There's the drill. Yeah, it certainly did not look incriminating to me.
No.
They were definitely looking for something they wanted, and they play the police radio, like the cops talking to each other and phone calls and saying, we need to pin this on somebody, and we have a good person that we can get it on, and, you know, it's a lot of strange, definitely a lot of focusing in on this guy.
And only him. And
so, wanting to nail him for it.
Yeah, because they said...
But him pulling out of the parking lot right after Garrett is not good.
Creepy, 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 creepy. And just because Nick seems calm, I'm sure he has a temper. He is, you know, he's a coach. Mm-hmm. That's control. That's this. That's that. I don't think he yelled at the kids, whatever, but he was so strict, and he was a black guy, and I'm sure people saying, oh, you got this black guy telling you what to do, blah, you know, whatever, because this is how people are.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I just, that, because that didn't come into this until Nick sued them. And I wonder who told him that that was a good idea to sue so quickly, because it had only been a couple of months, and saying that they had destroyed his life. I mean, there was no other suspect they were going after. And I don't know who his advisor was, because I think it was way too soon for him to do that, that he had every right to do it. But I think it was way too soon. And that's when he had to answer questions about stuff with that lawyer I couldn't stand for the civil suit. And that's when the tape came out. That's when I'm like, holy, that it just changed everything for me. It was just too creepy. He pulled out literally right after this kid.
Yes. But then I think, okay, super small town. And not only was Nick around, but John Jones was right there out supposedly walking his dog. Like, there's so many different things going on within the small radius, you know, on the map. And then there's the thing where Nick, who's, you know, has a witness placing him at his house during the time the murder supposedly happened. So if he had done it, he would have had to do it extremely quickly.
And that's what that lady quickly. Said. This woman, the district attorney, the first district attorney there, the woman, she knew there was not enough evidence to put him to trial. So they played on the emotions of the mother and the family and everybody afraid because a kid died. And you got to get somebody, whether they are correctly guilty or not, just to make everybody happy. This happens all the time, unfortunately. And Nick was the target. So then this other, the new DA, she becomes DA by playing on the emotions of people. And she basically campaigned on that she would, and Tandy would go with her campaigning, that she would finally find out who killed Garrett's, the little boys who killed him, and put him behind bars.
Mm-hmm.
And she won.
Yeah.
But she stunk. And then she, go on.
I was going to say, they never investigated the so-called kids.
No.
That I can see.
Well, there's just something. I'll send it to you. It's something they found in March, and they're still, it's the kid angle that they're kind of dealing with. Other things thought that she's a bartender, and there could be some freako in there in her house. You know, you don't know if somebody locked the door or not, the kids, if they're the last to leave. And because they wouldn't think they had to. And another thing with Nick was that, the creepy thing. Remember when his friend moved out of town and they put those, he moved far away, like from that town. And they, a Justice for Garrett signs were right outside the new school he was going to be coaching. Remember that?
Yeah.
And then they went inside the school. And he's like, they're trying to intimidate him, saying that he's a liar, whatever. And then he had to go move in with his parents. And then guess what happens? Signs turn up at his parents. That's creepy. You know, come on.
Yes, it is.
So I don't know.
It is.
And it shows him as a good dad. His children adore Nick. It's just weird. I don't know. But there is something new. They're discussing because this DA, I love this. She got disbarred for 2 years and she's still not DAing or doing anything because of ethical misconduct. And part of it being in Nick's case. Also, the kid thing is in there, and they have a new DA, and he said, because remember what she said? The case is closed. We caught the guy who did Garrett. But this guy said, the case is open, the new DA. He said, we're checking every angle now, and they found something with some kids, and I'll send you the article. But who knows?
I'm going to post something. It's already going to be posted by the time you guys listen to this. I'm going to post something on our Broadswave Facebook, tracking the evidence. It's like a really good article. You can, you know, trace all the stuff and the things that have been uncovered and up to date. There's still no conclusion.
No. And Nick is still suing, as he should have, for being... come on, doing that to him, just humiliating him. And so he lost his job. He lost everything.
Yep. He was totally vilified.
Yes. So now he's living in New Jersey with his kids and he's doing, I can't remember, soccer someplace at, what the heck do they call it? Like club soccer or something like that, which he's making no money, obviously. And, his teammates all stood by him because they said he's great, whatever. And I can't see it, but that parking lot and the lady saying that he could run so fast, he doesn't just have a six-pack. He's got an eight-pack. So she's poring over his pictures. That gross. I don't know. Just, it's very intriguing. Very intriguing. Because at first, I have to say, I thought, well, he's strong. He could have jumped from that window, whatever, because of his athletic prowess, you know. I'm thinking that. Then I see that creepy John Jones, and he's throughout this whole thing. He's like, you know, a star is born, you know, close-ups, here I am. And I'm like, oh, he's such a creep, and he's shifty, and I can't stand him. And then I'm thinking he did it, or neither of them did it. And then when that piece came out, about him being in the parking lot. He said it was a rainy day. He said he was there to scout other soccer players, yet he parked on the other side of the field and he just sat there, he said, waiting for the rain to end. And just at that point, he decides to leave right after this boy leaves. To me, that's biggest thing. That is the biggest thing that would make me go, he did it. But he would have had to do it in such a fast time that it's like, how could he have?
Yes.
I don't know.
I know, and I think about it. I live in a relatively small town. I think the population is like 200,000-300,000 or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, I could see there's like a local Walmart, and I've run into a lot of people that I know. And I'm sure if you look at the security cameras, you know, maybe there's someone that I know or have been acquainted with in the parking lot at the same time that I'm there. I mean, it could just be a coincidence. It's hard to say.
It's a big coincidence, though. Huge.
Yeah. No, I know.
It's a huge coincidence. And I'll tell you, the sweetest innocent people can be murderers. They can get angry.
Yeah.
Murder. You can be calm, cool, collected, and then one day just flip. I'm not saying he did it because I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that creepy Denshu Grip guy did it either. And I think it could be kids. And I think the person was waiting for him because it happened so quickly. And, I don't know. And there were no fingerprints. What was he wearing, gloves, this murderer? What was going on? So that's my point for the kids. And no one heard him jumping out the window. Nobody heard. You would think so. And if he was supposed to be coming, he had to run back to his car. And who wouldn't have noticed him? He's the only black guy in town. So I don't know. It's very confusing, and it's really well done. And you guys can really, like I said, it's on YouTube, and you can check it out, both part one and part two. And I didn't want to watch it because of the reason that I thought it was going to go, like, horrible. And, like, Nick is so not guilty, and then he's in jail for 20 years and that kind of thing. So I said, I can't watch it. And then Michelle said, it's not bad. It's not bad. Watch it. And I watched it, and guess what? I watched it twice. To see if I missed anything.
Did you? I did too.
It's that good, you guys. And it's still a mystery. And who knows?
It is still a mystery. Somebody knows something. And I believe some kids in that town know something.
Isn't it funny, though, because kids talk and they brag sometimes. And to have it so secretive after all those years kind of amazes me. But the ones that they're looking at, I guess it was just in March this year, they moved away like a month after the kid died or 2 months after the kid died. And they had made statements that they saw some guy running behind the house with long, greasy blonde hair and t-shirt and jeans and a hoodie. So that's why they're looking into them, because their timeline wasn't correct either when they were talked to. And they talk, so they're checking them out as well, which is what you should do in an investigation and not just blame this guy, this black guy who was her boyfriend. And she did say she chose her kids over him. But she also dumped this white guy who was livid. Oh my God. Of all he to be dumped, period. This guy seems like he thinks he's like, I don't know. A super stud or something, super studly. And anybody she dumped him for, he'd be PO'd. But my God, a black guy? And you know he got teased about that as well, I'm sure. And he was very mad. And I just don't like him either. So I'd be curious to hear if you guys watch this. And if you have HBO, I would say yes. And if you go to YouTube, look it up. Just look up Who Killed Garrett Phillips, and it will come up.
There's a lot of stuff on it, yeah.
Yeah, but the HBO documentary is, the full documentary is on part one and part two. So you can see
the
whole
thing. And
I
just posted something else, on our page that has more information about it. So
It's fascinating. And so, Michelle, what is your conclusion on this? This is a lot that we didn't talk about because it's a very complex kind of thing. But for you, who do you think is most likely? Because I know you thought it was John Jones in the beginning.
Yeah, I did jump to that conclusion. However, I think the only thing he's guilty of is being a sort of sexist, racist, bigot.
Pig.
I think that someone else, I tend to think that it was some kids or a bully or someone else did the crime, and I think John Jones swooped in and took the opportunity to frame Nick Hillary. He maybe even had somebody do it for him, John Jones. That's my theory. Or he knew about it in some way, what was going to happen.
But he certainly made sure that he did not leave that woman's side in her hours of grief. Because I'm so dependable. No, you insinuated yourself in there. You told your girlfriend you're going to be with them. He was with her for the night. I don't think she probably slept. And then during the day, she wants me to come in there with her. I mean, he just, and I'm sure he's just talking up Nick being the bad guy, and she believed it. I mean, the whole family believed that Nick did it.
To be honest with you, I don't believe that from what I saw in the documentary, I'm not sure that Tandy was ever 100% sure that it was him. I think that she needed it to be somebody so she could have some closure. And I think she was swayed. And Nick actually said something interesting in the interview. He said, you know, I understand in a town that's this racially, you know, exclusive, like, I understand if she felt like she was alone and she needed to go with the group of people who would support her, even if it meant alienating the person who was intimate with her for an entire year and shared a life with her.
Yeah.
I don't think she fully thought that he did it. I think she needed to go with that because she was grieving.
And she was being bombarded by, you know, the brother-in-law and the mother-in-law, and, you know, that family just bombarded her with that, but especially John.
And she never spoke out. She never said, you know, Nick was abusive. She never said anything.
No, she said he was not. She said he was not abusive. He never touched her children. He never even really yelled at them, but he didn't want them watched. You know, he was strict, and the kid hated it. And then he got teased by his pals. And I just, it's just so confusing because the time frame, but that video of Nick in his car, and when he saw that, his face is like, whoa, you know? I was like, wow, if I'm not guilty, I sure do look it right this second. Yeah, boy.
Exactly.
So it's a real mystery. Exactly. It's a mystery. And if you guys see it, I'd love to know your opinion on him. And if you think that this was, who did it? Or if it's someone we don't even know. Because like I said, there were no fingerprints, no nothing. And there was no DNA. They made it out that it was huge DNA from Nick. There was no DNA. None. No hair piece. Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing was there. Nothing. Which is an unbelievable thing for a crime, that there is absolutely no evidence that they could use.
Yep.
Yeah, so I have to say,
circumstantial.
I want to read what Tandy says. What's up with her? An update. Because this happened when was the trial? 2015?
Well, we should probably tell the listeners he was not convicted.
Right. Oh.
They had like a 30-month-long trial.
No, it was not that long. It was because it was I think it was a 3-week trial.
Was it?
Yes.
Okay.
They were doing, they were looking for a jury. And the stupid DA even says, oh, yes, I'm very pleased. There's someone, a friend of mine on the jury, and I'm sure he'll be totally fair. And, you know, it was everybody in that town. So Nick made the decision to have trial by judge instead of his peers, who are certainly not his peers. And he wouldn't have had a prayer. They would have got him on nothing. They would have done it. And he chose a judge, and the judge wisely said, I cannot charge this man. He is not guilty. You have to say with beyond reasonable doubt, there was not even enough to really charge him. You know, really not. So I was glad for that the judge did that. And I'm reading some of the transcripts too, so it's fascinating. It's a fascinating case. Like I said, Nick's here. He's got his kids. And I hope he gets a better job, and I hope he gets some money for what they did to him and damaging him and doing humiliating things to this man, which I just, honestly, I cringed and I had to fast forward. I found it so horrible. I just wanted to punch him out, all of them. And then say, oh, yes, we did take nude pictures of another person. Oh, you did? Who? Garrett Phillips. I mean, really?
Yeah.
Really? So go on.
I was just going to say, we're going to do some more true crime podcasts this Friday on Showtime. There's a new crime documentary. I think it's like a 6-part series called Murder in the Bayou that I'm going to check out.
Good. I'm going to check it out too. I'm looking for a guest who can tell us why women fall in love with serial killers. And like just the Ted Bundy thing came out and women writing how hot he was. This one woman, girl, well, I don't know, she teenager 20s. And she wrote, oh, he could kill me any day. Oh my God. You know, like what is wrong with you?
I know. It's
so the pathology behind that would be quite fascinating. So that's what I'm looking for a guest as well, because it's just creepy. Yuck.
Yep.
And they have message boards and things and websites for women who are in love with serial killers. And the funny thing is they had so many women sending love letters to Jeffrey Dahmer, and he was gay. You know, he had no interest in these women who had the hots for him. Oh, gee.
Yeah.
Go figure. Anyway, it's a good thing. And I love doing true crime. And it's sad because we're doing it because a little boy is dead. But it's a fascinating story that hasn't ended yet. And will we ever get an end to it? I doubt it. But
I doubt it too.
It's quite interesting to see how the cops worked there, how they moved in on Nick. You get to see John Jones and check for him. He's on camera and he's trying to get his dentures in place. Everybody thinks he's a creep. And I don't care because a lot of people wear dentures, but you know, he was just like, Mr. I want to be on camera all the time. And he got his close up and he was doing his teeth. So, I don't know. And you know, I know a lot of people with dentures. I'm not making fun of anyone with dentures. I just don't like that guy. So I apologize.
Me neither.
Yeah. I just don't like him. And I don't think that I couldn't clear Nick either, you know? I can't clear Nick. I don't think so, but, you know, just that little piece that I saw, I think, I don't know. I don't know. It could be kids. I don't think it's John Jones. And it's probably neither of them. I think you're correct. But he definitely tried to frame. But I believe John Jones was there to frame Nick and to get his ear into TND about, you know, look, Garrett couldn't stand him, blah, blah, blah. You know, he put his 49 cents in there. So he was a part of it. He was a part of the reason Nick got indicted. But I think more than anything, Nick was black. And he was a perfect person that everybody could get behind and hate. So it's wonderful. So watch it and check out on our, what's it, facebook.com, The Broadsway Show, right?
Yes, The Broadsway, at The Broadsway Show on Facebook. I shared something. There's a lot of people who've done podcasts about it, and they have websites that track. So it shows you the map and the timeline frame and all this stuff like they do in the documentary. So it's really interesting. Sorry if you guys heard any drilling or hammering.
They finally stopped, and
we were clear.
Well, we sure yelled out loud. We just didn't let you. Oh, all of a sudden I hear you. And then it's just like, and you should see.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the thing that we record this on, and, you know, our voices. Right now my voice is normal, but we're shouting, and it's like going through the roof. You have to see, it's a riot. So we really tried. Yes, because we wanted to get this out. And I did, the one we did last week is out today. And it was supposed to have posted, I hopefully posted it to YouTube through the sites. So,
or
on Facebook. So it should be up. And we talked to Be a Damsel No More. And you can also get her book for free. That was sweet of her. So that's up today as well. So if you want to check that out, you can. Right.
All right, guys. Well, thank you for listening, and we will be back.
Yes, we will. And I have a really sore throat from shouting. Okay. Thank you, everybody. And we will be back, as Michelle said. And check out our Facebook and join our page, like our page, comment on our page. Thank you. Bye, everybody.
Bye, guys.
Bye, Michelle.
Bye.